Welcome everybody to iloverealestate.tv. Great to have you guys on board. Now today is a very special podcast that I want to do because it's something that really sets the framework for success in absolutely everything that you do. Now clearly I talk about real estate and money and all of that kind of stuff, but what I'm talking about today will actually give you success in every single part of your life if you choose to apply it in every single part of your life. But I'm going to say right up front, it takes discipline. So if you're not prepared to have a little bit of discipline and structure in your life, then maybe this call isn't for you. But if you are, I can tell you now that what we're going to talk about today guarantees success. That's how important it is. That's pretty cool, huh? So what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is you and every single part of your being focusing on an outcome. Now, some of you might call it goal setting. Some of you might call it zero-based costing if you come from an accounting background. Some of you might call it, if it's in a monetary field, budgeting. Some of you might call it focusing and visualization. Some of you might call it you can even do it in meditation. You can do it in all sorts of fields. You can do it as focus. Sports people do it. Politicians do it. Successful business people do it. Absolutely everybody who's ever had a success in anything knows how to do this. And that is to focus on an outcome until it comes into reality. Now, that's what we're really talking about. And, you know, it's an easier thing to do than, it's an easier thing to say than actually do. I talk to a lot of people all around the country. And quite often people will say to me, you know, I always thought that I knew what I wanted until you started firing questions at me about, you know, how do I do this and how do I do that and what do you want to make happen there and all of these things. It actually makes you think. You know, we as a society don't think enough. We really don't. We don't spend enough time every single day just thinking and trying to work out what we actually want, what we want to make happen, what we want in our life. And the thing is, if we don't do that, what we end up doing is being a pawn in somebody else's chess game. You know, we just kind of bump around from place to place and react to situations rather than plan them and make them happen. Now, when we start talking about goal setting and focus and you know, being putting everything into making something happen, what we're actually doing is not just talking about the mental thought process. What we're actually doing is talking about the mental thought processes, the physical actions to make that happen, and the physiological process that happens in our bodies when we get out there and really put our intention and our ideas and our everything into making something a reality. But we can't be knowing what that is or making it a reality until we actually determine what it is we're actually working for. So the first thing I want to do is talk about knowing what you want. Now today, to help me out on the podcast, I've got our regular on the podcast program, and that is Ian Ugarte. Are you there, Ian?
I am. Thank you for having me along, and hello to everyone.
And as you can hear, I've got Ian on the telephone, so his voice might be a little bit softer than mine, but I've got him over the phone because he's off making some of those goals a reality that he said earlier in the year. Is that right, Ian?
Yes, that's correct. I am off to, I'm always doing that, always working on the next goal that I'd put together.
So you're actually on holidays at the moment, aren't you?
I am, and I have the freedom to take them whenever I want now, so it's good.
Very good. Okay, so let's talk about the very first part about goal setting. And we're coming up to Christmas, we've got New Year, you know, chunking on down soon after Christmas. It's a good time to really set aside a little bit of time because we're not, you know, tied up with work normally and things like that, to be able to decide on what we actually want. Now, one of the things that I like to do when deciding what I want to create in my life is do what I call data sampling. Now, this is the good part. This is the fun part about goal setting, because all data sampling is getting out there and looking at what's around. You know, sampling what it's like to sail a sailboat, sampling what it's like to ride in a big Riviera, sampling what it's like to travel in a private jet, sample what it's like to drive this particular car or that particular car. Now, all the things that I've said there are obviously very materialistic things, but it could also be sampling what it's like to, you know, give someone $1,000 for Christmas and say, you know, I hope you enjoy this, go and do something decent with it, or whatever it might be, you know, just the ability to be able to data sample things out there. And I really liken this to somebody who's not been exposed to the Western world. And, you know, you think of perhaps somebody in Africa or in, you know, some of the hill tribes in some of the remote areas around the world and things like that. And try and put yourself in their shoes and think about what you might want. And, you know, how could they want, as an example, a plasma screen TV if they've never seen one, visualised one, or have any concept of what that meant, or be able to, you know, travel around the world, or whatever it is, you know, whatever's on your goal list, try and superimpose that on that person who's never been exposed to that thing. You can't. And because they've got no concept of what that actually means or what that actually is. So data sampling's a great thing to do. Data sampling gives you the ability to be able to see what's out there and go, oh, I'll have a bit of that. No, that's not for me. I definitely don't want that in my life. Oh, I like a bit of that, yes, but I'm going to have it differently. I'll have it this way or that way. How do you data sample, Ian?
I use the internet a lot to look at different things. And some are, you know, some of those simple programs like YouTube and bits and pieces, you can always punch things in there to have a look at what you like. So, you know, for me, one of my goals in this coming year is to try and get my pilot's license. So, you know, I want to start sampling what it's like to get my pilot's license, so I can then go onto YouTube and see and just punch in flying lessons or pilot lessons. And then obviously attached to that is the type of planes that I'd like to fly. So I might put in, you know, a Cessna single motor engine in YouTube and have a look at that. We also like to do the things, like you said, in short-term bursts. So if it means going to what it's like to sit at the Radisson somewhere in the country for a couple of nights with the family and the kids, and we want to make that a usual thing, then we'll go and sample that and see whether that's what we want to do. You know, motorhomes, all that sort of stuff. Now, they're all material. And interesting that you brought up the a country where they have no idea what a plasma is like. I think it's difficult for us to actually imagine what it would be like in their world, because they all seem to be extremely happy. And so it would be interesting for us. I'd love to travel over to a lot of different places, which I have done, but, you know, more often than not, travel to those places and just see their culture and just see how they interact and how they are happy. And, you know, and for data sampling, for us, sometimes we find that very difficult to see what happiness really looks like.
Simplistic happiness anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, so data sampling's the first step to, you know, to really deciding what it is that you want in your life and what you want to create. During the week, earlier in the week, I was talking to one of the Platinums in Melbourne, and he was talking about wanting to live in a certain suburb in Melbourne, and he didn't live in that suburb at the moment. He'd been born in a different area and, you know, had lived there all his life. And he was like, oh, you know, I want to go and live in this suburb and I want this, you know, this value house and whatever else. And I said, do you really? He said, you know, you've got all your friends and all your mates and everything else where you are. Is that what you want? He said, well, I think I do. I said, well, what you got to do is you got to go and data sample it. You know, go and rent a place for a year and see if you actually do like it or not. There's no point in moving everything you know, selling up houses and PPRs and whatever else and going to that particular suburb if you get there for 6 months and go, I hate this, I want to go back to where I was or a different place or move states or whatever else. And it's very similar when people say, oh, you know, I want to come and live on the Sunshine Coast, because a lot of people end up here on the Sunshine Coast for, you know, on holidays and things like that. And same for anywhere else around Australia, you might go on holidays and go, oh, I really want to live here. Well, I suggest very, very strongly that you go and just rent for a little while and see whether you really do want to live there or not. And that's part of that data sampling. So think about the goals that you want to achieve and look at some data sampling activities that you can do around those goals to see whether that really is what you want to do. I remember years ago I wanted a particular car, and I thought I wanted one anyway, but when I went and hired it and drove around for a week and decided, no, I really don't want this at all. So that went off the list. So it's a good way to vet and measure all of the things that you do actually want on that goal list. So the next thing that I like to do when setting goals is think about the categories that you want to have goals in, because you know, when you sit down with a blank piece of paper and go, okay, what do I want? It's actually a lot harder than you think to go, right, well, I want this and I want that and I want whatever. And, you know, it's something that I get my students to do. And that's to say, okay, well, write down the top 10 things that you want. And, you know, most of them go, okay, well, I want this kind of dream house, and I want a car, this kind of car, and I want to travel, and, you know, and then I want or a motorhome or a boat or an aeroplane or whatever else. And then it's like, what else? Oh, I want passive income. All right, I'll put passive income down. Yeah, but what else? What detail? You know, what does it actually look like? And then I say, okay, well, go and write me another 10. And they go, I can't finish the first 10. How on earth am I going to be able to do the next 10? And, you know, it is a harder thing than you actually think it is until you actually go and do it. Now, I know, Ian, in the early stages, you were the same as everybody else is out there with, you know, okay, well, what do I really want? You know, if anything's possible, what do I actually want? And, you're very good at it now, but in the early stages, what did you do?
Well, I mean, in the early stages after joining your program, I had heard you speak about it countless number of times, and it was one of those things where I'll get around to that, and we'd go to one of your boot camps, or we'd go to a one day event, and we'd go, oh, I'm going to do that, make sure I do that, and we just went by the wayside, and that never really happened. So it wasn't till we actually really sat down and really set our goals, exactly how you've asked us to do it, that we made any real movement in our investment strategies and in achieving our goals. And, you know, for those people that have become your students, the way that you teach them to slowly get those things together, because like you said, the concept of actually what you want is so difficult to grasp, and you know, from what I've seen from your students, it's generally the males that find it the most difficult to dream.
Yeah.
And you know, just getting, you know, you've produced that peg in the sand book, so for us having that there waiting for us, ready to be set out in a step-by-step process, really helped us to really start setting our goals. And you know, we continue to use that peg in the sand book. I constantly steal them from your seminars, just so that we do them every 3 months. We reset and make sure that's right. And so, like I said, it's made a massive difference for us. And every year when we go away on our Christmas holidays, Christine and I, and sometimes some of the girls join in too. We've got four daughters, and we spend a long time, probably 20 hours, just going through step by step what we want to achieve for the year. We update our 5-year plan, and we work through those processes and how we're going to achieve those.
Yeah, it is very, very important. I say it all the time, and I say, you know, every year, and I drive all my friends absolutely bananas. Particularly this time of year, in getting them to think about what they want to achieve and what they want to make happen. And see, I think actually for a lot of guys particularly, if they haven't done any personal development work, then they don't really believe that setting goals and, you know, going after them and success generally is a reality. And all they have to do is to set the goals and you know, put the business plan into place and make it happen. And if you don't really believe that, then it, you know, it doesn't become a priority in your life. And it really wasn't until I threw some hard questions at you, Ian, quite a while ago now, that you actually really did take it seriously. That I, okay, well, if I really do want to change things, you know, you've got to start setting some parameters and some goals around what you actually want to achieve. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've already said it once on this recording that it wasn't until I started saying that. Now, Christine was always on board and she was always there driving, but, you know, as a team, if I was letting the team down. And originally when we started setting our goals, they were very, for me, they were very material. You know, they were leave work, you know, nice house, nice car, all that sort of stuff. And what's developed over the time since we've started really setting goals on a definite basis is that it's now getting to the stage where my goal setting revolves more around the family and the interaction that we have between each other and making sure that my relationships with people are right. And you know, I still do have the material goals that we work for, but that definitely that goal setting part on the relationships with the people has changed enormously for me. It's not something that I don't think I could have done a few years ago, when now it's probably right at the front.
That's right. Which brings me to the topic we started to talk about was after data sampling, the thing that you want to do is to categorise your goals into the varying components. And what I wrote the Peg in the Sand Journal book about it, but you break down those goals into the varying categories of your life. And you know, I like to use the finance, obviously. You know, the wealth quadrant of the wealth side of your life. But then there's health, and there's you know, your family and relationships. There is those things about helping others, and you know, I call that spirituality. There's the fun factor things where you just want to do stuff. There's a personal achievement and accomplishment categories about, you know, I want to learn to play the guitar or fly an aeroplane or salsa dance or whatever. You know, and you can break it down into those individual categories of your life and then go, okay, well, think about on the achievement side, what do I actually want to achieve? You know, do I want to learn to dance a samba? Do I want to enjoy gym work? Do I want to, what is that for me? And really think about that. And then in each category, spend some time really, really getting in touch with yourself about where your priorities lie and how you want this life to turn out and what you want to have as a reality in this life this time around. And, you know, really spend some time over this Christmas break thinking about those things, because if you can quantify them and you can get the detail around what they actually are, then it stops being a New Year's resolution that you're never going to achieve in a pink fit, and something that you might think about once and then it's gone, and sometimes that's alcohol infused anyway. And then you know, into something that is, gosh, this is my future. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to make that happen. Which kind of is the next thing about, okay, now let's work out the process of getting to that goal and making that happen. So categories, what are some of the categories that you break your goals into, Ian?
I mean, generally what we've got is a property component, and that's broken down generally into the financing and how we're going to get into deals and whether we need to bring joint venture partners into it, and that's attached to wealth as well. Then we have our family and relationships, and we've got our personal health goals, and you know, generally and so each one of us in the family has those, and then the achievement part, like you said. So, and I think that's probably what should be mentioned here is that sometimes I talk to your students and they say, yeah, I've got goals. And I go, well, can I have a look at them? They go, my goal is this. And I said, so have you written it down yet? And they say, no, it's in my head. And sure, I had some sort of goals in my head at some point in time, but they actually don't work in your favour until you put them down on paper or put them on electronically. And And what we did was when we did finally sit down, Christine did hers, I did mine, and then we brought them together. And Christine went through and created a PowerPoint where we had a reminder. Every morning I'd get up, I still do, get up, have breakfast.
That's a good thing, to get up in the morning.
Sorry?
It's a good thing to get up in the morning.
Yeah, that's my goal every night.
Oh, good.
So I get up in the morning, I have my breakfast, and while I'm having my breakfast, I can hit a start key, and on auto cue, a PowerPoint presents itself with the goals that we are trying to achieve, and they're flashing before us, and we might add pretty pictures to them. We've actually recently put together our 5-year vision as a family. We each have a speaking part in a video, and it talks about our life, and it's a specific day. It's the Australia Day in 2017 is the one that we've put together so far, and it's very descriptive. We're getting up in the morning. We're talking about the relationships that, you know, how I feel about my wife and how she feels about me, the type of house we're in. We know we can hear the kids playing in the pool. You know, the kids are talking about making breakfast, and one of them's picking mangoes and fruit out of the yard for breakfast, and, you know, me getting into a plane to fly out to some of the properties. Very detailed stuff that we can play, and we can share with our friends as well, because there's a lot of our friends are in our life vision there, and it gives everyone a buzz and keeps us on track to see what we're trying to achieve.
Mm. That's good. So the categories, you make up your own categories. You know, you decide what they are, but both Ian and I have given you some suggestions there about what that might look like. And then the next thing is actually capturing those. So you must write them down. Whether you do it electronically, like Ian said, whether you do it in a notebook. Everybody knows I've got a notebook fetish, and I like to have everything in my notebooks, and you know, it's important to capture those thoughts, because whether it be a million-dollar idea, whether it be a goal, whether it be a feeling, whether it be a whatever, by actually writing it down, you clarify it, you make it very clear about what it actually is, so, you know, there's more thought that goes into it than just... There's more detail that goes into it than just a thought that can get lost in the mire of a whole lot of other things going on in your life, and it restores it. So it's there for you to go back to and recapture that feeling, that thought, that idea, that whatever that inspired you to go, you know what, that's what I want, that's what I'm going to make happen in my life. So writing them down and capturing those thoughts is very important. As Ian rightly said, you know, we talk to a lot of people all around Australia, and, you know, they say, oh, yes, it's all in my head. Well, I'm afraid that's just not going to cut it for you. In your head will not necessarily translate to reality, whereas going the full hog of writing them down, committing to them, reviewing them on a regular basis and staying current puts a whole nother aspect into the whole goal-setting process. So capturing, what do you like to do, Ian? You're a little bit more techie than me. I like my pen and paper.
Yes. What we do is originally we do normally start out, we do your peg in the fan book, and that's how we break it, where we first originally get it. Christine puts it down on an electronic format so that I can see it. And so now we've got our 5-year plan, our 3, 2, and 1 year plan. Our 1 year is broken down into months, and then the next 3 months is broken into weeks for us. And at the end of every month, I update. So I've always got at least 2 months ahead of myself, and I go through the list on a weekly basis, and I say, well, I've achieved that, so that can go in green, or I haven't achieved that, it can go in red, and I transfer the red down into the next week to make sure that it gets done. So I'm constantly following and tracking. There's a few iPhone apps that you can use. One of my favourites is an app called Ready, Set, Goal. And the beauty about that app there is that if you don't know how to set goals, it actually talks, it questions you through the process. and it tells you, you know, why do you want to achieve this, in what sort of time frame do you want to achieve it, who is going to be your buddy to make sure that you're achieving this, which is really important, support network around you. And you can set the what are you going to reward yourself with at the end, because sometimes we just don't reward ourselves. And then you can then set milestones in that. So for us, you know, I'll give you one of my recent goals in the last year, and it's something that I would never have thought that I would have wanted to do. But I was sitting there one day and I was listening to someone who'd done the New York Marathon. I thought that would be something worth doing, and it's beyond what I can see right now. So I'm going to set myself that goal. And essentially, there's a whole lot of information that goes behind that and research. So I had to go and research. I went on to YouTube and I saw some marathons. I actually went at the New York Marathon is on YouTube in fast speed, so you can do the whole course in 7 minutes. You know, and so I did all that sort of stuff, but then I had to break it down into small chunks of information or little milestones to get to where I need to be. So that meant that I had to set myself a program of how often I was going to run and how many kilometres I was going to run. So I researched that, I found the training program that I liked, and then had I decided the next day to go out and run a marathon, there's no way I would have achieved that, because from my starting point, I was nowhere near that. So I had to break it down into milestones, and, you know, those milestones meant running, you know, working my way up from 5 kilometres to 10 kilometres to 20 and then to 30, 35, 36, to finally get to the marathon. So, you know, I trained 10 months to do the New York Marathon, and in the end, Hurricane Sandy came along and they cancelled it on us. But, you know, what's most important about that whole cancellation was that I saw that rather than being upset about it, I saw the great opportunity for me that came from that. And I love to break things down in percentages, because percentages are always things that you can work with. And so when I go on a jog, a reasonably long jog, I'll break it down into chunks. So I'll go, rightio, I've just done 10%, and while you're working along that 10%, I'm trying to work out what 10% would be of the run, and then I work into, rightio, well, I'm now at 20%, and then one quarter comes up, and then, you know, soon after one quarter, you've got to the, you know, you can move on to the next percentage, and then you get to 50%, and then you get to two-thirds, and then three-quarters, and then you're almost there. And that's what I find with all our goals. If I can break them down into chunks, then I can say, at what point in time am I at 50%? And probably, you know, one of your great friends, Kevin Dudney, who you bring along to your courses, probably has the best explanation of people achieving their goals. Everyone gets within, you know, 90% of people get within 90% of their goal, and it's the 10% that don't get there within 10%. It's just amazing to listen to him talk about goal setting in that frame of mind. It is amazing, and it opens up. So many people get so close but never achieve their goal, and it's not far off there.
Because they don't have the milestones to know how close they actually are. And the goal setting process is about that. You know, you set the goal, and then I guess the next stage from this that we should talk about is, rather than the capturing and whatever else, is to actually go, all right, well, put a time frame to that. And, you know, for you it was a year with the running. You know, for replacement of income, let's put a hypothetical person together here who wants to replace, say, $100,000 in passive income. And you go, all right, well, that's a salary that you earn now. You've got to give yourself some time to do that. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. So with $100,000 passive income, let's go, all right, well, let's say I'm going to do that in 2 years. So with some education and other things, you look at what properties you're going to need to have and what kind of properties at what kind of value give you what kind of passive income and how many of those you're going to need and how quickly, you know, you can move from one to the next and what type of strategies you have to implement on those properties and start to work out, all right, well, if I want to replace my income in 2 years, then of $100,000, then that means roughly 50K each year, but it might be 40K this year and 60K next year. So what do I have to do that? How many properties does that relate to? What kind of energy, what kind of strategy, what kind of thought process and effort do I have to put in to make that happen? So that's where you start putting benchmarks in, and they're called milestones. And where as you go through and you start to go, you know, to put those milestones into place, you go, all right, well, when I get to 20,000 passive income, now in Ian's terminologies, because, you know, he likes to do percentages, and for some people, percentages work. Anyone with a mathematical kind of background who likes to think that way, and hey, look, I'm one of them too, but I know a lot of people aren't, percentages aren't going to work. So you go, oh, all right, well, I got $20,000 of my 80. So if when I get another 20, you know, I'm nearly at halfway and that sort of thing. So you start to put some parameters and some specifics around how much you've got to do now in order to make that a reality at that point in time. And it might be a weight loss goal. It might be an income replacement goal. It might be a wealth goal of having a certain amount of value properties or net worth and all of those sort of things. So you set the benchmark of, okay, that's what I want, and I want it at this point in time. And then you break it back down, and I like to break it down in a yearly basis first to say, okay, well, that's this much per year, like I did with $100,000. That's, say, $40,000 this year and $60,000 next year, so it doesn't have to be even either. And all right, so in this first year, I've got $40,000 to make. Let's break that down into 6 months. Does it mean that I could do one property every 6 months and make $20,000 passive income on each? That's a pretty realistic goal, you know? Or does it mean that I do perhaps a different style of deal with a different strategy in place and I make $30,000 on one, and then I'm setting myself up for the next one after that? So you start to think of the little components and break it down into 12 monthly, 6 monthly. I like 3 monthly. I really, really like 3 monthly. And the reason for that is because I'm a business person and I've got to do my BAS. So there has to be, from an accounting perspective, an accounting or an assessment of how I've gone and what I've achieved and you know what my financial position is every 3 months anyway. So it's a perfect time to really put aside some time to focus on what the goal accomplishment has been for you over that space of time as well. So 3 monthly really works for me. It works for me also because it gives me the enough time to make something happen. You know, you can use, obviously you set weekly goals and things like that, but the goal achieved in a week is going to be a smaller goal than what I can achieve in 3 months. But I'm also somebody who is very constantly on the job, we'll say. So I'm constantly thinking about that goal and what it is and what I have to do to make that happen. And it's something that I do now automatically because I've been doing it for so long. But in the early stages, I had to have in that 3 months, what does that mean every month that I've got to do? And then every in that first month, what does that mean I've got to do every week? And then from the week, I put it into a weekly planner of what it means, you know, for that week that I've got to get done so that the goal in 2 years' time is actually a reality. Now, you're pretty good at this too, Ian.
Yeah, look, we use each other. So we obviously work our apples around the place, so we've got our iPhones and iPads and whatever, and we actually schedule reminders into our phones and they automatically update on each other's phones to remind us. So, you know, we've got our weekly business meeting that's part of our goals to make sure that we're constantly moving forward. So they're scheduled in there and we get a reminder to say that in half an hour we're supposed to be having a meeting. You know, there's all those different types of applications. I think that the ability to use electronic formats in different ways nowadays is just there, and you should be using it if you can. And some people say, well, I'm not that good at that. Well, that might be a goal for you to be able to become more comfortable with that. And again, you know, one of Dimna's other friends that she brings along says that every day, given the opportunity to make a decision, take the uncomfortable option every time, because you look at all the achievements you've made, there was always some sort of discomfort. And I talk about it, not that I've ever had it, but the achievement of childbirth, there's obviously an extraordinary amount of pain that comes and uncomfortable stages that come with that. but the outcome at the end is fantastic. So if you can become uncomfortable by using electronic stuff and getting used to it, then you become comfortable. And it's the same as when we first started driving a car. You were uncomfortable. You had white knuckles. But after time, by doing the same process over and over again, you become more comfortable. And that's what's happened with us as well. We've become very comfortable with goal setting now. And, you know, like I said, the electronic formats is what sets us reminders all the time.
I don't think you should talk about childbirth there again.
When I said it, I haven't helped it, but I saw it.
Okay. Not quite the same. the uncomfortable road that you were talking about there is again something that, you know, you've got to think of it in these terms, that if you want a different outcome from the outcome you've been getting all of this time, then you've got to start doing things differently. And that may mean getting uncomfortable with the way you do things. I mean, I always use the analogy of going in the shower. And it's like, which body part do you start to wash first? You know, when you clean your teeth, which side of the mouth do you put your toothbrush? Which way do you go to work? Do you go to work the same way? And I think when you really start thinking about those things, most people will go, I think I do things exactly the same way every single day. Well, if you want a different outcome, you've got to start doing things differently. And this really applies when we're talking about life and achievement and making things happen and having things in your life or having your life the way you want it to be. It's very important that you start to do things differently, start thinking differently, start getting uncomfortable with just general day-to-day things so that you're training yourself to actually achieve and make things happen in a whole new light.
And the other thing I'll say there too is that sometimes impediments to our success are right in front of us, and one of the big ones I would say for most people is they say they don't have enough time. And one of the biggest things that made a difference to our whole life and goal setting was giving up the television. And it took so much for me to get rid of that television. But I was never, once we started setting goals, I was never going to make excuse of time as being part of the reasons I didn't achieve my goals. And so, you know, I went into, which I won't go into now, but I went of different ways of trying to make more time in my life, and definitely one of the big ones was the television. And again, when I talk to your students, they say, "Oh, I've got no time." I say, "Do you have a television?" "Oh, yeah, but I don't watch it." I says, "Well, if you're not watching it, you might as well get rid of it." And the truth is, it's like the chocolate cake in the fridge. If you're trying to lose weight, the worst thing that you're going to have is chocolate cake in the fridge. So if you've got television and you're trying to save time, then you probably should get rid of the television too.
Yeah, and that's a hard call. You know, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, you know, but I've got kids, but this, but that. And, you know, well, what's most important in your life? And for some people, the reality that they're not prepared to put in the effort to make their goals a reality is a big shock. But now's the time to be thinking about that. Now's the time to be asking yourself the hard questions and you know, making the hard decisions to put into place the actions and the thought processes and the discipline required to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. Because anything is possible if you allow yourself to actually achieve it. And most people don't give themselves the opportunity to have whatever they want. I was talking to a kid the other day. I'll use kid lightly. He's 18, 19-year-old, who has never had the good fortune, I suppose, to believe in himself and to really know that if you set your mind to something, you can make it happen. You know, that anything you can do anything you want in life if you set your mind to it and you get out there and you take action and you you work towards it, you can make anything happen. And it was interesting to watch over a period of time how this particular person changed in behaviour and in success, confidence, everything, because it started to really take on board the fact that, geez, you know, I could actually do that, or I can do this, or I can make that happen, or whatever. And it was because he'd never really thought that he was able to make any of those things happen. So do yourself a favour and tell yourself on a regular basis about how amazing you are and how anything is possible. And, I mean, one of the things that I like to do on a regular basis is read. And I find when I'm not reading motivational books, when I'm not reading, you know, inspiration and really tuning into podcasts and webinars like this, that I start to slacken off myself, and you stop setting those goals, and you know, your life tends to stagnate. It's only when you really get motivated and get excited about life that things start to happen, and anything can happen if you let it, if you give it the opportunity. And for most people, unfortunately, they don't give themselves the opportunity to do that stuff.
And I will add to that, definitely, you know, a few months ago, I had plateaued in what I would call successful achievements. And it came down to that I'd sort of slackened off on the goal setting and doing the bits and pieces around that. And then finally, once we reset, within the space of days, things started to happen in my favour again, and I was starting to achieve. And, you know, call it whatever you want, there is an amount of energy that is related to that. And, you know, some of the examples, one example this week, for years and years, I've always wanted to buy a church. And, you know, there's an energy around that. So every time I see driving past an old regional town and I see a church, I go, oh, that's interesting, that looks nice church and whatever. And I happened to be driving past one about a month ago, and it had a for sale sign that had fallen over on it. I went over, found the phone number, rang the phone number, and I now own a church. I was telling my cousin about it today, and he was wondering whether I wanted to start a cult or not, but that's not one of my goals. But so there is an energy. So when I think about some of the things that have happened in my life, it's always because I've thought about it and I've dreamt a little bit in that sphere. Now, that's where we're at. And so the other component of success and goal setting is you have to ask yourself, if you read those motivational books, whether the likes of Richard Branson and Kiyosaki and Robbins and Dimpner Bohol, do they actually set goals themselves? And when you go and read their books, it's absolute, that's what they do. So, you know, that their success is definitely related to how they view their life and how they set their goals. And that's something that I only picked up on, you know, 2-3 years ago, that, you know, we can just go along and be in our comfort zone, but until we look at those successful people around us and what they are achieving and how they achieve that, that's when you really start to move.
That's right. And it's, you know, it is absolutely everybody, whether it be a sports star, a musician, you know, a successful business person in any field, every single one of them places a lot of emphasis and importance on goal setting. And it's something that has become part of everybody's life, and must be part of everybody's life, because it is the key ingredient to success. It is the key thing that will make the difference between those who succeed and those who fail and those who don't even try. And, you know, it is stay motivated with it, stay connected, keep that energy at the level it needs to be for success. And everybody wanes, everybody has lapses. Just get back on the bike, get back into the energy of success and the energy of achieving, and, you know, start resetting those goals, because that's what will make the absolute difference between accomplishment and not.
One of the things that you talk about in your book is the study that they did at Harvard University about goal setting.
They did they interviewed the class of 1953, the graduating class of 1953 at Harvard University, and they tracked that class, that graduating class, for 20 years and what they did and what they achieved and all of that sort of thing. And then when they went back and they did the assessment on them 20-odd years later, they found that the 3% who set goals, so of the graduating class of 1953, only 3% of them actually set goals. And when they reviewed them some 20-odd years later, the 3% who did set goals were worth more financially than the other 97% combined. Isn't that amazing? So those that were actually setting the goals were worth more, that 3%, than all the rest of the class combined. That's how important goal setting actually is.
And I have to agree with that because of what I said before. When I'm not on top of my goal setting processes, I lapse and I plateau, and sometimes even go a little bit backwards. And then when we reset and really get serious and constantly monitor it, as uncomfortable as it sometimes is, we really do have some success.
Yeah, and everybody goes through those ebbs and flows. So the difference between those that succeed and those that don't are the ones that get back on their bike and start again. And go right, well, today's another day, and let's get back into the habit of success, which is that focus, motivation, energy level of success, which comes from goal setting. So, guys, that's it for me today. I really want to really draw your attention to the importance of this. I want you to have fun with it. I want you to play with it. I want you to really spend some time every day, like just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, really thinking, having some time by yourself that you can set aside to really get in touch with who you are, what you want to make happen. And I suggest you have a little pen and paper there beside you and write. Do some free writing. Free writing's very, very creative, and it gives you the ability just to be able to capture things very quickly. For those of you who don't like writing, use the tech stuff, use the apps, use the computer, use whatever, use a recording, and just capture those thoughts, capture those ideas. Because every single thing on this earth that you can possibly think of, absolutely every single thing that is man-made, has started with an idea. It started with a thought. So if you don't give yourself the opportunity to have a thought, to have that original thought, then you're only, you're limiting your own success, you're limiting your own ability to be able to achieve, and it's something that you absolutely have to stop. It's a habit to get rid of in the future. You must give yourself the opportunity and the time to actually lay out and have that thought process about what you want to achieve, where you want to go, what you want to make happen, and give yourself an opportunity to have an original thought. I was talking to somebody the other day about original thought and really questioning whether they'd had an original thought. Just think about thinking about something for the very first time that nobody in history or anywhere else on the earth has had that thought. That's pretty cool. What about you, Ian? Have you had an original thought?
Have I had some original thoughts? Not sure that I'd tell anyone about them. There's some really simple examples when you look at, in the whole world, everything that you look at is an original thought in some way. And you can start with Da Vinci thinking about aeroplanes and things that fly, down to just really simple things like those stickers that go on the back of the cars with my family. Now, that's quite a simple thought, but it's an original thought that no one had put together yet.
That was an Australian too.
They're all over the place. It's just amazing what people can think of. And, if you can open yourself up to that, and the free writing type stuff and free thinking type stuff is what will get you to that point.
Yeah. And that's what I want everybody to really focus on over the next week. Really focus on having an original thought and capturing that thought, because you never know when that next original thought is going to be a $1 million idea that, like those stickers on the back of the car, have made that family an absolute squillion. So think about that. Think about your original thought and spend some time actually really nurturing yourself to have those thoughts, to give yourself that time over this Christmas period. Most people have got a little bit of time, a little bit of holiday downtime to be able to do this, and really commit to giving yourself that time, that opportunity every single day, just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, just to be really able to connect with who you really are, what you really want to achieve, and get out there over this Christmas period and do some data sampling. Data sampling's fun. Data sampling's the best part about goal setting. Do you like data sampling?
I do, and I'm looking forward to a few weeks to be able to do that.
Very good. Well, come back in a couple of weeks and tell me all about your data sampling and what you've decided to include in your future.
No problem.
Okay, guys, well, that's it for me. Thank you so much for being on the line, and I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon. But please, please, please give yourself the opportunity to succeed. Start that goal-setting process and really enjoy this process over the next little holiday break, and do some data sampling for me. Okay, guys, thank you. Bye for now, and thanks, Ian, for being on the line.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.